doing your stupid podcast tonight.
You mean the Hotspurs podcast?
And you're listening to the Hotspur podcast.
Hi everyone, I'm Mickey Hazard, and you're listening to the Hotspur podcast. We are the cream, we
are the best you've ever seen. Yeah, this is the Hotspurs podcast, the Ginger Pele of Spurs shows, with Colin McKee, the former model from Northern Ireland, and Steve Robinson from Leigh-on-Sea in Essex. With all the latest news and views from White Hart Lane, this is the Hotspurs podcast. Once more. Ray Clemens, Mitchell
Thomas, Gary Steven, Steve Odds, they're all gonna put on. Well, it's Tuesday the 20th of August and the season is underway, and delighted that we've got Colin here. Obviously, Colin, a brilliant start to the season. How do you think it all went?
Yeah, look, fantastic there. How good was it to get off for 3 points? I noticed that someone had posted on Facebook that we've already got more points than what we did in our first three games last year. When you think of it that early, it's a brilliant start, and like really, really enjoyed it. It's quite a wee bit nervous before, because as we said on the last show, it's hard to go away to these newly promoted teams, and especially someone like Palace, which is a London derby. To go there, it was always going to be a tough game, but I thought the team played really well. We looked really, really strong. Obviously, there was no Gareth Bale. We'll go through the team later, but I thought we looked strong, we looked comfortable, and fully deserved the win. Fully deserved, I think, to get the 3 points.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, we had the game on the Saturday, which was the Arsenal game, which I watched the whole of, and I can only assess that by saying that, well, I was watching it, and it was like watching Tottenham. You know, like everything went wrong for Arsenal, one thing after the other. And, although they didn't play terribly, they had loads of chances and what have you, just every single decision went against them. And I just thought, this, good, because this is what it's like watching Tottenham. And then we play the next game. I mean, we looked strong. We looked, the substitutes coming on, they were good. All the new players, I was impressed with all of them. It was just a fantastic first weekend. I mean, I enjoyed watching all the games. It's funny, I had a discussion with a Man United fan last night who was saying that the quality of the Premiership's gone down. We heard it all last year. I said, no. Man United's quality might have gone down, Arsenal's quality might have gone down, but everybody else has upped their game. Don't tell me that the quality in the Premiership has gone down, because I'll tell you what, watching Tottenham these days is the best I've ever known it. So, and it's the same with most clubs, like Southampton go and buy that Osvaldo. I mean, it's fantastic for them. So don't tell me that the quality's gone down, because every other club, apart from yours, is improving. Although I don't know why you're saying that, because Man United looked blooming brilliant, didn't they?
I know.
Yeah.
But, you're right, Steve, in what you're saying. And I think, if we look at Spurs on Sunday, they were so strong. Slightly disappointing that we didn't put the game to bed.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was a typical Spurs thing. We got squeaky bum time for the last 3 or 4 minutes. And Lloris had to make that double save.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting going, why is it always like this? But I think as the team gels more, and I do believe that there might still be another couple of additions, we will put games like that to bed. And as you say, we possibly performed like a Man United or like an Arsenal.
Mm.
By getting that 1-0 away win. Many times have we sat and been beat at home like Arsenal were, and then Arsenal go away to somewhere and scrap, like a 1-0 victory. The next day,
just being solid at the back and because they didn't have any chances, did they? Really, they had a chance at the end.
No.
Apart from that, we were very, very solid.
Yeah, but I say with squeaky bum time for the last 2 or 3 months, and really anything out of that there. But again, I think hopefully we will kill these games off. Sigurdsson obviously had a couple of good efforts. Dembele hit the crossbar. Jermaine Defoe, how he messed up on that. He's usually absolutely 100% when he's through like that one-on-one and just side-footed into the corner. But, as you say, Let's. I would like to chat first of all about the new players.
Yeah.
The new signings. You know, what about Chadley? What did you think about Chadley?
Well, what we'll do, mate, if you don't mind, is we're going to do a new system this year, where for the Premier League games and possibly some of the Cup games, we're going to go through each player and we're going to give them a score. We're going to give them either a 1 if they played really well, a half if they played okay, or a 0 if we didn't think they played very well. And then at the end, so they'll have a mark out of 14 if we use all the substitutes, and we'll see what score we got. 14 out of 14 obviously will be a perfect performance.
Yeah,
all right,
okay.
So we'll give this a go. Right, so it's the Hotspurs podcast scoring system for each Spurs game. It's new and it should be fantastic. Right, here we go. So, Cole, let's start with Lloris in goal. And you're giving him a 1, a half, or a 0?
I've given him a half.
Interesting, okay. What did he do wrong then?
No, not that he did anything wrong, but I just didn't think he had an awful lot to do in the game. So, you know, I couldn't give him, you know, a 1.
Yeah.
You know, because he just didn't have an awful lot to do. Yes, he had those couple of saves, but so I've given him a half.
Harsh. He's a harsh critic. Good. All right. Well, I've given him a 1. All right. Okay. Walker, what are you going to give Walker?
I'll give Walker a half as well.
I'll agree with that. He's just probably trying to do a little bit too much at the moment.
Yeah, he frustrated me, Steve, a wee bit. You know, he's got all this ability, and he's a bit like Aaron Lennon. He gets into these fantastic positions, and then there doesn't seem to be anything comes of it. Or you're sitting looking at him going, just go at them, you know, go there with your pace. And he just frustrates me sometimes, but he still had a good game.
And he doesn't have to get caught out. I mean, if I was the opposition, I don't want to give the opposition managers any ideas here, but I'd just say, listen, that Walker will bomb on. You know, when we get the ball, quickly get it out to the left wing, because Walker won't be there, you know. And the thing about Walker is, in fact, funnily enough, he does get back really well because he's so blooming quick, but... Yeah, just a half of the mate. He's looking a little bit too confident, if that sounds too strange. You know, he's looking a little bit like, you know, I'm the kiddie, I've got my position now, and, you know, no one's taking it off me, and so I can go anywhere I like. No, listen, first job, defend that left-wing position, and then get forward and do your stuff, which is fine, which you really want to see as you push on. And then Danny Rose, Colin?
I've given Danny Rose a half. Again, I thought he had a really good game. I think he could be quite exciting for us, but I just sort of felt, you know, that he was a wee bit... There was times there when I thought, you know, just push on, you know, go past Chadley, you know, sort of do that overlap, and, you know, with his pace and, you know, and his crossing abilities as well. So, again, it was just a half for me.
Oh, you're harsh. I'll give him a 1. I thought he was terrific.
Oh, right.
I was really impressed. I thought, you know, he came in, he's given his chance, and, he, you know, just what we were talking about last week, you know, when you get your chance, take it. Don't just... come in and sulk or just put in a half performance. I thought he really demanded the ball and was great. And I've given him a 1 there. What about Dawson?
Dawson, again, I give a half.
Okay. All right.
Dawson was actually, I don't know if you noticed it, but in the first half, I was getting quite frustrated with him. I just thought his first touch was lacking a bit. Again, those, you know, direct, you know, diagonal balls that he loves to play. Yes, a few of them come off, a few didn't come off. But I just felt sometimes he was just a wee bit shaky, more so in the first half. But again, I can't really complain. He was demanding, and, you know, he still looks the part there.
Yeah, the way that he hits those crossfield balls, they weren't coming off for him, really, were they? A couple did, but I've given him a half as well. What about Vertonghen?
I give Vertonghen a 1.
Yeah.
That I thought he was just so steady, didn't put a foot wrong.
He's class, isn't he?
Oozes confidence, doesn't he?
He's class, he stays on his feet, and he's brilliant, isn't he?
Excellent,
okay,
excellent.
Into midfield, Dembele?
I give a half. Again, I think if he had stayed on, and it's one thing I wanted to discuss with you, I was really surprised, Steve, when they took him off.
Mm.
I really was. I thought he was having a decent game, he had a great shot in the first half. And, you know, I know Kapoor came on, and he was excellent as well, we'll chat about him, but... I still think Dembele's such a dangerous player, and I sort of worried after I seen that he was taken off the goal full, was he maybe going to lose his place?
Yeah.
But I give him a half because he only played 50 minutes, really.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a one because I think he's got something, and he had a go at, you know, had a shot at goal, and he hit the bar, and, you know, he can if he wants to control that midfield, particularly in the attacking part.
Yeah, that's a great point there, Steve.
Yeah.
If he wants to, I feel exactly the same when I'm watching him. It's nearly as if I believe, as you say, if he wants to, he can actually do that every time he gets the ball.
Yeah, and people saying that
and
we need this.
people
saying we need this number 10 just behind the striker. I think Dembele's the perfect person for that.
So do I. I agree. Especially if, you know, we will talk about Sandro wasn't even there.
Yeah.
You know, and this boy Tapur come in. You know, Dembele in behind Soldado, the man to play that killer pass.
Absolutely.
100%.
And he shields the ball so well, and he can tackle, and I think he's fantastic in that role. What about Paulinho?
Give him a one. I thought he was brilliant for being a South American, coming into his first Premier League game. A lot of guys talk about having to settle. I thought he looked strong, mobile, very, very dangerous for us. I thought he was outstanding, Steve.
You can just imagine him watching, the Arsenal game the day before, and like that fantastic, you know, Emirates Stadium with all the facilities, and then he walks out at Crystal Palace and goes, "What have I done here?" But it was fantastic, absolutely, as you say. He got great stuff.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure if he was man of the match like they gave him on Sky, but brilliant, fantastic.
Yeah, I would have been definitely close with him, you know, for a man of the match, definitely.
I'll give him a one as well, obviously. What about Sigurdsson?
Sigurdsson, I gave a one.
Yeah.
I thought Siggy played really, really well. Very unlucky. He had a great shot in the first half. Second half, he should have scored. You know, he should have put that Soldado, brilliant, you know, awareness to put him in, and he definitely should put away. But I thought for his work rate and his effort, I thought he was brilliant, so I gave him a bomb.
He should have scored, but in the first half, that effort was a terrific effort, wasn't it? Because it was on the turn,
it
was dipping, and he was very unlucky. But, again, another one who's a fringe player. We didn't expect him to start because we thought Sandro would be in. And he came in, and he wanted the ball, didn't he? He demanded the ball and wanted to establish himself in that side. So I've given him one as well. Soldado,
I've given a half. Reason being, I thought he was excellent. He's definitely got to be quality for us. He really is. But, you know, there was massive periods of the game where he wasn't involved. So I think it was hard just to give him a one. Maybe I am a bit harsh, but great finish, great penalty.
Yeah.
And he is going to be superb for us.
I think in that first half, he was probably thinking, hey, this guy Lennon, he's pretty good. He beats people. He runs brilliant. What's going on with this final ball? You know, this first half's going, no, we're used to it, mate. But, you know, you keep choosing the wrong option. I think Lennon needs to have it. You know, we'll move on to Lennon next, actually.
Yeah. What did you give, Soldado?
Soldado, I'm going to give a one to because, I he's got this presence on the pitch, what we talk about. You know, he's got more of a presence, in my opinion, than Defoe. I think he's going to get stuck in. He had a couple of headers which went a bit wayward, I'm going to give him a one. Lennon, the one good ball from Lennon straight into his feet, and he fluffed it a little bit. But I'm going to give him a one because again, this guy's coming over from playing in all the big old stadiums for Valencia, and then he comes over and he's got to play at Crystal Palace, and he showed the fantastic attitude. And when he scored, you know, that big old beaming smile and all the high fives.
Yeah,
it was great to see. So, Lennon, what are you going to give Lennon?
I give Lennon a one because I thought everything that was dangerous about us came through him. Yes, very frustrated on a few final balls, but I thought he was constantly dangerous. The only other sort of thing I would sort of say about him, a wee bit like Kyle Walker, there was so many times he was just go at them. You know, many times we said it, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, just take them on.
Why doesn't he have a shot? You know when he's being put through, have a cross shot, and then the goalkeeper saves, and then it's straight out to the dangerous area in the 6-yard box. I'd have said to him at half time, I said, when you get in those positions, whack it straight across goal. You know, have a shot, mate. But I'm going to give him a half because I didn't think he made the right choices with his final ball, and I think he was really faded in the second half. And what I'd have actually done, I was calling for Townsend to come on because I thought Townsend, you know, we didn't think he'd play because of this ban thing, but obviously
that
happened. But he came on the other week against Espanyol, and he looks as if he wanted to do something. He wanted to take over from Lennon, and fair play to him if he does. So, but you've got to give him that chance. So I'd have brought him on actually with 20-25 minutes to go and see what he could
do. Yeah,
I thought that Lennon lost interest towards the end.
Yeah, true.
Chadley,
I've given a half.
Yeah.
I thought, again, for a debut coming into the Premier League, I thought he just constantly just got the ball and kept coming backwards with it.
Yeah.
You know, just passing back. But that could have been a bit of nerves and things. But certainly in the second half, you could see him starting to go at players, and he is a big, strong unit as well.
Yeah, what about if he's having a shot on goal? Not brilliant shots on goal, but you know he might be a bit frustrating, this Chadley. I think if we're winning 1-0 or 2-0, then you know him having shots and going forward and taking on players, fantastic. But I've just got a funny feeling that he's the type of player that when we're 1-0 down or you know we need a goal, that he's going to be a little bit greedy and he might be a little bit frustrating in a way. But hey, you know, again, really really impressive. First game. I'm going to give him a half as well.
For his first game, definitely, and I think he can definitely score goals for us.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, let's go for these substitutes then. Kapoue?
I thought he looked brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to give him a one because
definitely.
I've never heard of the guy, knew nothing about him. Once I'd heard Spurs were interested, I sort of looked him up on YouTube and the internet and things. But still didn't really know a lot, but he came on, he looked quick, great passing. I thought this guy really looks at business.
Yeah.
You know? You know what he reminded me of? We hate chirping on about them all the time. He reminded me of the kind of player that Arsenal would have signed.
Absolutely.
Or Man United, and we would be sitting going, why do we not know about him?
Yeah, who's this fellow with long legs getting stuck in and winning the ball and things like that?
Yeah, but we've got him. And I thought he looked great. My only sort of worry was, where are all these guys going to play?
Yeah, well, don't worry about that, because we're Tottenham. We'll have injuries, as we did.
Yeah, true.
We all thought, Sandro's the first name on the team sheet for all of us, and he was injured, he wasn't ready yet. So, we've got loads of games to play, and these guys will play. You know, the great thing is that we've got Kapoue and players like this to come in, and, rather than a Jermaine Jenas or a... dare I say it, a Tom Huddleston. All right, we'll come on to him in a minute. Jermaine Defoe, what are you going to give him?
I give him a half, because I didn't want to give anybody a zero. You know, obviously, he was only on for the last 10 minutes or so. But put himself about, held the ball up well, should have scored. But great to see him there, and it's one guy I really hope that they do keep him. You know, because I do think this guy can still score a lot of goals for us.
Yeah, that was his chance, though, wasn't it? I felt for him. You've got all these players come in. We've got all these rumours about what's going to happen. And yet, this is your chance. He comes on. He only gave him 15 minutes, which I thought was a bit harsh as well. I'd have given him a little bit longer because I did think that Soldado was fading in the second half as well. I'd have given him the last half hour, and he came on, and there was his chance. Perfect Jermaine Defoe scoring opportunity. And normally, he smashes him, doesn't he? Like, remember the West Ham game when Carlton Cole gave him the ball straight away? He smashed it straight in, and he scuffed it, and it was like, oh no, you know, that was your chance. I really felt sorry for him because I felt he'd go, right, well, that's me gone then. You know, I thought, of course, we've got all the link with all these strikers today. Okay, and finally, Yunus Kabul. Great to see him back on. What would you give him, half, one, or zero?
I'll give him a half. You know, I'm not going to give the guy a zero. You can come on. It was great to see him just coming on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and you could hear the crowd singing a song, and what a massive, big player he is. And that was one thing, you know, I think for talking in the pre-match or after the game, you know, spoke about how big a team Spurs are now. You know, if you look at it, you know, there's hardly a small player across the pitch, bar maybe Danny Rose and maybe Aaron Lennon. You know, it's a big, big, strong team. And in the Premier League, no matter what anybody says, you need it. But all of these big, strong players can play football.
I
was well impressed, Steve. I really was.
And it was great.
Forget about Gareth Bale. I think we looked so, so strong.
Yeah. Well, it was good we didn't have to give the ball to Bale, you know, like we had done last season. You know, give it to Bale in the last 10, 15 minutes. You know, we could pass it around. As I say, there's a bit of a bromance going on between Sigurdsson and Soldado. And the score should have been 3-0, shouldn't it? Because Sigurdsson should have scored and Defoe should have scored. It should have been 3-0. That would have been the right result with all that was going on. I flicked on one of these channels where I am in Spain, and they had a different commentator. They had the ITV commentator. And when the Palace guy had a shot at the end, the commentator went, oh, they're really giving it a go, aren't they, this Palace? They're really giving it a go. And it's like, no, that's their only chance. What do you mean they're really giving it a go? You know, you said after five or six chances that they didn't.
I had a Liverpool supporter phone me yesterday, and he turned around to me and said, I was a wee bit disappointed in you. You don't look that. I thought you would have been a lot better. And I went, this coming from a Liverpool fan, I went, hold on a minute, mate. I said, first game of the season,
yeah,
new players coming and settling. I said, I thought we'd look so strong.
Mm.
And I said, pure quality all over the pitch.
Well, yeah.
As you mentioned, you know, we're going to look at our bench now. You know, last year, we mentioned it in last season's shows, you know, whenever ADB had to turn to the bench, there was, you know, Huddleston, Jake Livermore, Tom Carroll. That
yeah.
was our bench. You know, we're now looking at Sandro, Couture, you know, maybe Dembele being on there, Jermaine Defoe. That's the difference.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. So, getting into Bale then, I mean, very quickly, is he going to go? Is he going to stay?
The rumours seem to be that, you know, people are saying that Spurs are spending the money now, you know, so obviously wants to sell him, that can't be caught, you know, for big money. I have a feeling that he's going to stay.
Mm.
I really, really do. And if he does stay, I know Gary Lineker on Twitter, I put, you know, if Spurs with these new signings, there's massive rumours about this guy, William, you
yeah.
know, that was at Shakhtar, that he's maybe going to come in, and he is quality.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we add him in along with Gareth Bale, I'm scared to think how well we could possibly do. I really am.
And Rover as well.
I have a feeling that he might do. What's your feelings on him?
I think he'll go because I think, you know, if you don't have to be a top detective to work out that this year, you know, he's come in and he's, whether he's not, he's said to that he wants to go or not, but, you know, they've looked at it and said, well, fine, you know, you can go, but we're going to build first. We're going to buy all the players, then you can go, which is a brilliant
yeah.
way to do it, if you look at it like
yeah.
that. Because
yeah.
also, you don't want to keep players that are not happy, like Berbatov and Modric. He did a double on those, didn't he, Levy? He didn't learn his lesson.
Yeah.
He sold them on the last day, and then we didn't have any money to, or he didn't have any time to buy somebody else. So this time he said, no, yep, yeah, fine, Bale, you can go. Bale's been professional. He's not come out and said he wants to go, unlike Suarez and these other guys. So that's fine. Listen, you know, if Real Madrid come knocking on your door, what are you going to do? You know, you want to be the best
yeah.
player in the world. I personally think he should stay for another couple of years because he's 23 years old. He's got a new baby, all the rest of it, blah, blah, blah. We've heard it all before. And, you know, and there's only really Real Madrid and Barcelona in Spain. I mean, they've got another couple of decent sides. But, you know, a lot of those games I think they're a bit boring. You know, where
yeah.
every single game in the Premiership, you know, you go to West Ham, you go to Southampton, you go to all these different, you know, middle of the road or lower league clubs, and they're still going to be fantastic games for him to play in. Whereas he's going to be, you know, at Real Madrid playing, you know, some middle of the road Spanish team, you know, they're going to be winning. Yeah, fine, they're going to be winning 5 or 6 nil, but you know, then he goes back to his mansion, you know, his Madrid mansion. You know, his wife's grumbling about the weather being too hot, and you know she can't go out with her mates down the pub. And I don't know, you know, he's just.
Yeah.
I think
he's
a young guy. You know, he should stay at Spurs for a little bit longer, and then go when he's 26, 27. I mean, you know, he'll be a world beater by then, and he can even, you know, do something himself. You know, being an individual inspiration to Tottenham Hotspur rather than going to Real Madrid. You know, being with a load of players that are on his level, and he might get, you know, lost in the shuffle a little bit and spend a lot of time on the bench.
Yeah, look, I agree with what you're saying. You know, it's going to be interesting, and you're right. If he is going, we're definitely doing it the right way this time. We're spending the money, you know, and to be honest with you, Stephen, I don't want to jump the gun by saying it. We've only played one game, but you know, with the quality that we've brought in, and if we bring in the likes of William and maybe another,
yeah,
I don't honestly think it's going to be a massive loss.
Well, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, yeah, don't get me wrong. We're going to miss him. He's a world-class player.
Yeah.
But I just think we look so strong. I really do, even without him now.
And last week we were saying, you know, if Bale goes third or second, and if Bale stays, we'll be there, and the difference of two or three places in the league. Now you look at it and go, you know, yeah, we might sell Bale, but look at the players that we're bringing in, and then look at the performances, some of those guys at the weekend who we didn't know how they were going to perform, but they were actually
yeah.
brilliant, weren't they? So things are
yeah.
looking good, mate. Things are looking good.
Definitely. It's great.
And hilarious for Arsenal. I mean, you just can't explain it, can you? They have all this money. They say, you know, we're moving to a new stadium, all this stuff that you've heard over the years. And then they go and they don't spend anybody. And then you turn around and Wenger goes, well, who is there to get? And you could go, well, I can name you 20 players off the top of my head that you should have signed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a bizarre situation, but hilarious at the same time. Right, I've totted up those scores, by the way, for the team. So you gave the Spurs side 9.5 out of 14, and I've given
okay.
them 11 out of 14. So
okay.
pretty good start there.
Yeah, like mine could have probably been a bit higher as well. Maybe I was being a bit cruel. But, you know, I think as we get into the season, you know, it's going to be good. It's going to be good just to see what we do. And anybody out there listening on Facebook as well, if you want to score it that way and even post up, you know, what your, you know, what you should get yourselves out of 14, it'd be quite interesting to see everybody's
podcast scoring system.
Yep, no problem.
Right, mate. Have you got some shout-outs?
Yes, I want to do a few shout-outs and apologies to these guys. It should have been done over the last few weeks, but just for Steve being on holidays and I've been setting up a new business, things have been out of my head. But I need to give a massive shout-out to Carlos Banks of the Tottenham Funnies page. He's a massive worker for us promoting our Facebook page to get us up. Also, Carl, who runs the We Are Tottenham from the Lane Facebook page, again, done massive work for us. And also, Come On You Spurs News, so COYS News. If everybody would look up these guys if you don't already follow them, and also like their pages, brilliant, it would be great, because these guys got us, Steve, I think, maybe 300, 400 new likes in the space of a week. And it was great work. I know Dan Jones had a lot to do with that as well. So just big shout out to those guys.
Yeah, we'll give another mention to the Stacey appeal as well. Is that right? It's hashtag Stacey for Stacey, is that right?
Saving Stacey, if you search that on Twitter. Because there's so many different people, you know, we're doing treks and doing cycles, there's so many of them there.
Yeah.
But just if you search that hashtag, you should be able to find them and donate to their page.
Yeah, help them out, definitely.
Definitely.
You don't have to go into to the details. We've said it before, but, you know, it's really important that you do that. Okay, great. And, by the way, if we do miss anybody out on a shout-out, just let us know and we'll definitely do that, because there are lots more people contacting us, wanting shout-outs and telling us stuff. So if we miss you, you know, call us and all the names under the sun if you want to, but we'll make sure we give you that shout-out. We don't mind. Cool. Any more shout-outs for you?
No, none for me.
All right. I put a little tweet out there just to say that anybody retweets us will get a shout on the next show. So we've got James Showett, I think it is, and Tim Jones, who retweeted us. And we've also got Jason Theobald as well. And the other guy that retweeted, we've got Simo, we've got Andy, we've got Andy, who used to do the old Tottenham fancast, and he said, I owe him a beer as well. All right, I do actually. And then we've got Mark Goldstein as well. So thanks very much for retweeting us. The other thing I put out there on Twitter was who'd made the biggest contribution to Tottenham in their career, Huddleston or Scott Parker. What are your views, Carl?
Yeah, I noticed that there. I was really quite surprised by a lot of the replies, and even on Facebook as well. I personally would have said Parker straight away, just because of what he'd done over the last couple of seasons. And to be honest, I know we haven't really touched on it, and we bit got it, you know, that he has left us. I think that he still would have been a good squad player. But, you know, again, you can't blame the guy for moving on. But, you know, personally, I would have went. And then I've seen a lot of people commenting, you know, that Huddleston, maybe because he's been there longer. But, again, I would have to still go for Parker, Steve.
Absolutely. I said all I need to say really about Huddleston. When he left, I actually, was happy because, you know, you don't have to be frustrated by him anymore. And whatever you say, whether his Hollywood passes, he's, you know, his goals. You know, you watch that Soldado compilation on Gillette Soccer Saturday, and he's volleying just from, I think, last season or the season before, this couple of seasons, he's volleying the ball in, you know, of all these brilliant goals. And then you see the Huddleston compilation when he goes to the hole. They show the goal against Bolton, you know, and about five of his long-range passes, and that's really about it. I mean, you know, he was lovely to watch play those passes, but in terms of contributions, I think he played a great game against Man City and in the running against Arsenal, you know, when we qualified for the Champions League, you know, and his injury, and then he got injured and what have you, when he could have pushed on, possibly. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there, but he never grabbed the ball by the horns, so, you know, thanks Huddleston. See that. Scott Parker, I think we will miss him because, you know, he's somebody that I think might come back to haunt us. You know, he plays for Fulham. I think I can see him get stuck in us. I can see him being captain there, you know, in no time, and really playing well for them. And good choice, by the way, Scott Parker. I'm pleased he went to Fulham because you know, I still want to see him in the World Cup next year. And if he'd have gone to QPR, he'd have had no chance. And, that I'm pleased he's gone there.
Yeah, no, I agree. My only thing was I would have been slightly more happy if he went to QPR because he wouldn't be playing against us. That was my only sort of thoughts on that.
You'd be kicking arse all over the pitch.
Yeah, true.
You got the. I put also a tweet on there that if you leave a message on iTunes, if you go to iTunes and put a comment on there, it somehow helps us up in the charts. Well, I think we were up to about 56 or something the other day, so that's good. And if you leave a comment, that makes us even higher, and I'll buy you a beer next time you go to White Hart Lane. But we've had no comments, so you don't want your free beer. If you want a free beer, you do that, no problem.
Get those comments in. And also, we'll just give a wee shout out to the Spurs Pod as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, Davey, the Spurs Pod does massive work for us as well on the show, and there'll be another poem in this show, and it's brilliant.
I normally put his poems at the end now. It's just a little bit easier to do that, or at the start or something.
I meant to say that. If the poem isn't at the start or in the middle, you know that there will be a poem at the end of the show. so guys, listen out for them. They're absolutely brilliant.
I think this one this week's by Jason McGovern, so should be a good one. All about his admiration for myself and Adebayor, probably.
I would say so.
right, anything else you want to discuss,
okay,
Carl?
I'm just going to do a quick fantasy football because obviously it's been the first week of it.
Yeah, let's go.
There's a few major shocks, Steve, a few shocks going on.
How did I get on?
I know it's only week one, but the first shout-out is, guys, and I said it weeks ago, there's no scum players. No scum players. It's the rule from day one this time. There's three guys in the top ten actually have got scum players.
To be specific, Arsenal players.
Or Arsenal players, they are not getting their names read out. Nobody will get their name read out if they've got one of these players in their teams. And why would you want to?
Yeah.
Surely you must have lost a load of points. Do you know what I mean? So, look, I'll quickly do it because I know we're running for time. In first place is Robert Palmer, with Adrian Richards, Luke Simmons, Jason Maxwell. Our own friend Dan Jones is up there in the top five.
Yeah.
Alex Scott, Paul Glover, Stephen Taylor, Nick Alexander, and Darren Dawson. Steve, you are in 25th place.
Not
bad. There's over 200 people in this league. That is a fantastic start. I don't know how this has happened. I'm actually in 86th.
Ooh.
I can't believe it. But I tell you what did happen to me. I've got Mata in my team, and he was my captain.
Yeah.
And Chelsea didn't play him. I couldn't believe that. And I also have another Chelsea player. So I think that's what's happened to me. So that's where we are. And then the bottom five, at the bottom of the league, is David Naughton. Then there's Paul Hartwell, Ryan Shaw, Richard Thompson, and Jason Wise.
Yeah.
So, look, guys, it's only the first week, but great fun. I know there's a couple of other new boys to join in next week, but good start.
Fantastic.
And I will also do the most points scored, but obviously the most points this week is the guy at the top of the league. So not doing that, but once we get up and going, if you have the most points out of everybody in the league, you'll get your name read out as well, as long as you don't have Arsenal players.
Yeah, not allowed. Even when they buy, poach some of these players like Caballé or someone like that, panic buying or what? I mean, it's ridiculous. When I saw that yesterday, I was like, oh, yeah, that's really going to inspire all those, Arsenal fans. I mean, Caballé, good player and everything, but where's the 50 million bid for Suarez, to secure that? Oh, my goodness. Right, anyway, that's enough of that. I think we've got this William guy, by the looks of it. I've just been on Twitter, and it looks as if he's that could be a good one.
I know
he looked round the ground last year, I was told, with the other guy from Porto. But, hey, we'll see if that happens. We've got a couple of games coming up. We've got the away to Tbilisi. Obviously, I'd like to see some of the players that didn't get a game on Sunday to play.
Yeah.
So rest a couple of guys. Give lots of these guys a run out.
Give Tom Carroll. Give all these guys matches. Brad Friedel. Definitely, that's what we want to see.
And we want to get through so that so that these guys do get a game as we go on. But I'm not taking it too seriously. Definitely want to do well in the Carling Cup when that starts up, and obviously the FA Cup and the league. So we've got Swansea at the weekend. Let's have a prediction for the Swansea game then, Carl.
Okay, that's on Sunday as well. Is that the live game, Steve,
no.
or is it?
No.
No? Oh, I thought it might have been live.
Kick-off at 4. As it stands, I'll be going to the Pride of Tottenham.
Okay.
But, if anybody else has got a different suggestion, I won't be going to the Bilnick because it's over the other side of the ground. I'll go there on another day, like when you're over or something.
Yeah, whenever myself and the Spurs port over, I think we'll be going to the Bilnick. So, yeah,
well, that's fine. But because I'll get there, I'll drive, so I'm going to go to the Pride of Tottenham. But if anyone else has got a different suggestion, then, let me know and we'll see. But I'll be in the Pride of Tottenham if you want to come over and say hello. I'll be probably wearing my Hot Spurs podcast T-shirt.
Excellent. predictions. I don't know if I like these predictions, Steve. I forgot to say it. What was my prediction on the last show?
2-1, and I said 1-0.
And what else did I say?
I don't know. What else did you say?
I said Spurs would get a penalty because they didn't get one all last season. I said Spurs would get a penalty and Soldado will score the winner.
All right. So, well, you can have that, but I said 1-0. My predictions are becoming uncannily good.
Put it up.
In fact, you won't even like this one because I think, as is the Spurs' way, we come crashing down when everything's looking good. And I think we're going to lose to Swansea by some, way of fate or whatever. Just that whenever we're really, really up and everything's looking great and rosy, Arsenal scrap a horrible win and we'll blimmin' lose and we'll be back down in the doldrums by next week. There you go. That's my prediction.
I don't agree. I think we're too strong now. I think we're a different unit, and I'm going to go for a 2-0 Spurs win, and it'll be Robbie Soldado again and Jermaine Defoe.
Well,
that's the prediction.
I certainly hope so.
But I don't know if I want to do these predictions every week, so I'll see how it goes, and then we might have to stop this. I don't like doing it.
Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. All right, mate. So we'll have a chat again next week. I'm back in the UK, and we'll resume the normal service. And let's go. Keep going, and come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, come on, you Spurs. Let's keep it going.
Obsession. Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. In its obsession and a way of life. For many, it's a top priority. Tottenham, kids, then wife. And it never ever leaves you. Some say it grows stronger the older you get. It's an unconditional form of love. To die lily white is an odds on bet. It's not all about the bank balance or top billing on a rich list guide. It's about the history and the famous tradition. Your entire life dedicated to a single side. Purity and cleansing of the football soul, proud in white with a held aloft head. One rule embedded in every fan's brain, always to be stylish and never to be red. An emotional attachment which lasts forever, a relationship which was destined to be had. A marriage made by the footballing gods, not a glory hunting plastic fans fad. For every minute of every day, from the finish right back to the start. Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, forever in my lily white heart. The Spurs Poet Obsession, brought to you by Jason Spurs Shop in Thailand. Come on, you Spurs.